Welcome to At Home with Cheryl Gillespie and Sam Shakura, the hottest and latest in design, fashion, art, and lifestyle. Get the inside track as they talk to the experts and reveal designer secrets to fabulous living.
Well, come on in. Get comfortable. It's great to have you here. Sam and I are honestly just off a plane from Shanghai.
I know. We planned the show at 3:30 in the morning.
That's right. 3:30 this morning. We're both wide awake. So we were talking design and work and everything else. And so looking forward to today's show because we have a really full show today. We're going to talk Chicago spaces. Amazing design work out of Chicago.
I know. We have the editor of Chicago Home and Garden on with us.
Absolutely. You will not believe the spaces. They actually just put out a book called Chicago Spaces, so we're going to chat about that and how we can bring some of their amazing style into our own homes. But before that, we're going to talk to Duo Dickinson, architect.
He's amazing. He's won a ton of awards, and he's been published in everything from House Beautiful, Architectural Record, The New York Times. He's great.
He's written over 7 books. And the latest book, Staying Put, Remodel Your House to Get the Home You Want, is so timely. It's exactly what we need right now, where we can't afford to move up into a new home. We don't even want to hit the real estate market necessarily. So we're taking the homes we have and making them perfect and inspired for how we live today.
And it's such a great book with tons of images of before and afters and floor plans and great innovative ideas to save you money. I think we should just welcome him to the show. Welcome, Duo.
Well, thank you for having me.
You are a busy guy. I can't believe the number of renovations that you complete. How many would you do in a year?
Well, it wouldn't just be me. We've got a staff of about 10, but we probably do total between 30 and 50 projects a year, and at least 2/3 of those are renovations of houses.
That's like a renovation a week. And what would be the average cost of said renovation?
In American dollars, it's something like $150,000, but the truth is that we do projects that are $5,000 projects and projects that are $5 million projects. So we also, part of my firm, which is kind of an odd thing, is that about 20 to 30% of the work we do on an ongoing basis is pro bono or not profit-driven for not-for-profits. So we do a fair amount of work for homeless housing shelters, for religious institutions, civic organizations, and we sort of lead with a no charge, and if there's a fee available, we take it. So we go from the very lowest dollars per square foot to pretty much the highest.
That's why we think so highly of you. So having a renovation a week, substantial renovations a week, how do you fit in time to write 7 books?
Well, the great line from the Archbishop of Canterbury to a friend of mine was when a church lady came up to him and said, "How do you do so much? How do you do so much?" And the Archbishop leaned over to her and said, "Well, frankly, dear, when quality ceases to be an issue, it's not really that difficult." No, but truly, it's basically that I've got a great staff. I work 20 hours a day, and I've been writing for so long now. You know, this is my 7th book, and I also write for a bunch of different magazines and newspapers. That the connection between what is written and what is designed is completely blurred, so it becomes very natural.
He says it so modestly. I mean, it's not just any publications, but I mean, your work's been published in the New York Times, Architectural Record, House Beautiful. Like, these are the biggies. And in fact, the New York Times just said that the newest book, Staying Put, Remodel Your House to Get the Home You Want, is like the renovation book for 2012.
Well, sometimes a blind squirrel finds a chestnut, you know.
You're very humble. Let's talk about the new book, because it's, well, let's actually, before we talk about the new book specifically, let's talk about what's going on with housing in North America right now and the trend, because it's certainly different than it was 5 years ago.
Well, the thing which is astonishing to me is that we have the largest economic collapse in the last 70 years, and it's basically due to a single building type in really one country. A single building type, the U.S. American home, was so disconnected from its actual worth in the way it was evaluated for debt, that it became the driving engine to collapse all the economies of the world. And you can, the double-edged sword is, of course, that was done for the most awful of profit motives. But the other thing is, it really demonstrates how people value homes so much that they are willing to disconnect the truth about what they're worth because they love them so much. And it ends up being this thing where a good, if architects in America anyway were more relevant to more people, they could have actually called the question and said, as some of us tried to do, and say, why are you paying $400,000 or $500,000 for a house this year when 4 years ago that exact same house was selling for half that much money? They haven't gotten that much more valuable. And that crater, when that value curve evened out to what was appropriate, that crater is so deep that it has triggered the longest housing recession ever. And in America, what that really means is that people really aren't thinking about selling their house. They're thinking, what can I do with the house I have? And they're sort of just creeping out from this crater in the last year or so to think that, well, maybe some of the money I've saved, maybe some of the value that I banked into the house, maybe I can actually, you know, widen that opening. I can put those new kitchen cabinets in. I can add a deck, or I can actually put a wing onto the house for my mother who's coming back to live with us. These small projects have been traditionally consigned just to a builder's, you know, whim. And the truth is, houses are our greatest asset, even with this depression, and are our greatest liability, clearly. And what that comes down to is that with doing something to your home without advice of counsel, with a good designer or a good architect, makes just about as much money. Just about as much sense as investing your money in an IRA without somebody telling you, you know, those goat sheep futures aren't going to work out too well for you, you know.
What do you mean? I thought goat sheeps were on their way up.
Well, you never know. It depends on how the fur works out, but the hybrids are really difficult.
So are you finding that folks are actually starting to believe in the system again, so to speak, and it's okay to do a renovation? It's okay to put some money back in your home?
You know, it's almost the opposite. The people have said that the system is gone. The system that we knew before of ever-increasing housing values is literally now a joke. It's a laughing stock. So they've gotten out of this pit of depression, and what I think they really understand is, I live in this place. I'm going to live here for at least a decade now, and maybe until I die. I'm not going to be able to move. I might as well do what was the essential tradition of really Western culture, especially in North America, which was, the family home wasn't just a stage set for a reality TV show called Your Family, where you brought props in and out and you sort of lived out your lives based on these little objects you hung on walls or put under your feet. The house really is the physical center point now for more families because they can't move. This is what was normal, really, before World War II. This was the way Americans thought about their homes. Their homes are so important to them that when things changed and they wanted to move, they would often move their house to a physical location because they realized the house was bonded to them in a way which no other physical object is. It is our largest set of clothing. It's the thing that we show the world, and it's the thing we are in at least 12 hours a day. And if you can't spend money on that, what really can you spend money on? So even in the worst economic situations, people say, I've got to find a way to beat this system, which is turned against us, and I've got to figure out a way to either save money, leverage equity, figure out some way where I don't make the same mistakes millions of people made over the last decade, and take the edges off this house, which makes me angry every day and doesn't reflect what I value or how I live.
Do you find that most of the houses that, you know, folks come to you for, you know, they're seeking your counsel, it makes economic sense to renovate?
You know, that's a loaded question. I would say that 95% of the time, if you just looked at the ledger sheet, it never makes sense to renovate your house unless you inherited it or got it at an incredibly low price decades ago. You know, for years, even at the height of the building boom, the Builder Magazine would do an analysis of what renovations you could execute that would actually leverage a profit the next year you lived there, and there was only two. One was painting your house, and was adding on the least expensive deck you can imagine. All the other renovations lost money if you sold your house in the next year. So the basic motivation for people to enhance the value of a house to flip it only makes sense if you can live in it for a few years economically, where you're not paying rent and you're able to sort of absorb that equity and then sell the house when hopefully it's increased in value even more, because, you know, traditionally as years go by, homes go up even more. But right now, with the economy the way it is, people aren't looking at their homes as anything other than their homes. They're not thinking about it as an investment strategy. They're not thinking about it as a way to pry bar themselves into a higher economic bracket. They really say, this is where I am. This is who I am. I've got to figure out a way to make what I am and who I am be reflected and manifest in my home. And that kind of baseline value system is the reason why, you know, people will spend $100 for a great meal instead of $2 to make a meal at home. It's why they buy shoes that cost $200 and not $20. And why most people don't dress like me, you know, poorly for cheap. They actually invest money in clothing that, you know, is nicer and makes them look and feel nicer. That enhanced value of life, which you get from, you know, the three basic things, you know, food, shelter, and clothing, that baseline human value system is really reflected in the reason why people would want to go to the time, effort, and financial risk to make their homes really a mirror for them, as opposed to some sort of profit engine.
Well, nothing feels better than coming home to a home that you adore.
You know, I got to tell you, you know, I'm 56 years old. I'm almost dead. And basically, I mow my own lawn. I'm one of the few people, in the Northeast that mows his own lawn. I mow my own lawn, and I think the happiest I ever am in my life is when I'm mowing the lawn and I look at my house, which I built 27 years ago. I see the sun setting on my house. It's right out of the scene of Field of Dreams, where you're looking at the house and you're saying, that's who I am. That's part of my life. That's why I'm alive.
Well, we've seen this whole trend with staycation and, you know, really, really, truly loving your home. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back here at home.
Someone is absent. The shepherd said, as all my pets, bookie bent his head for several Sundays. Absent you. So tell me, teacher, what did you do? But they did no good. I never heard. She never came. So I decided to drop her name. He answered gravely, the fault was mine. 100 and no, there were 99. One was lost in dark and cold. The sheep that had left the fold. Searching, I count in the car.